right, good singing all the way around. I bless the Lord for how good He's been, the good songs of Zion that we've got. Take your Bible, if you will, the book of Joshua, chapter number 6. We're going to be looking in Joshua in chapter number 6. If you find the place you're able to stand, we'll read there out of that chapter there. We'll start with verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel, and none went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see that I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. The 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that whenever they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priest and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant and let 7 priests bear trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And said unto the people, pass on and compass the city and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be once again in the house of God. I pray that now that you would help us today, and Lord, lead, guide, direct us, watch over these that have gathered here, those that will be traveling. Lord, I pray that now that somehow or another you would cause the gospel to lodge in somebody's heart. We thank you for the love of God, and Lord, we thank you for the grace of God that passeth all understanding. Bless, I pray, this crowd in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. I'm going to preach on marching in with the captain. Now, you remember in chapter number 5 that whenever Joshua there was leading Israel and he was going to be manifested, that the touch of God was upon him like it was upon Moses. And in chapter number 5, you'll find that all of a sudden one day that he looks out there and there's a man that stands with a sword drawn. What a majestic looking sight that it must have been to see the captain of the Lord of hosts standing there with a sword drawn. And as he saw that, he asked the man, he said, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said, neither one, I am the captain of the Lord's host. And that's the reason why that I've come, is that I'm going to be the leader of this thing. And as a result of that, you'll find the captain of the Lord said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. I want to say that whenever you're marching with a captain, you ain't got to worry about anybody else. You ain't got to worry about anything else. You ain't got to worry about if the decision that he's made is the right one or not. Let me tell you, he's never made an erroneous decision in his life. Yes, whatever trials, troubles, struggles that come up in life is that you'll find that the captain, if you'll just stay with him and follow him. You know what happens, don't you? We get to where we want to veer off to the right or veer off to the left, and we come up with an alternate plan or another idea. And let me tell you, it'll fail every time. But if you'll just keep following and marching with the captain, keep your eyes on him, move when he said move, stop whenever he's not moving. In this lesson you're looking at, verse number 1, Jericho is straightly shut up. Now I'm going to tell you, they've heard of where Israel's been marching. They've heard how God's been victorious in their behind. And let me tell you right now, there are people on the inside there in Jericho. And the Bible said they're hiding, no doubt, from God and the people of God. They're hiding and there's none coming out. There's none going in. Talk about a place that's shut up and sealed up pretty tight. You know, that's what's wrong with the average American. They're so busy locked up in this world and whatever the world's got to offer. They're not moving in or moving out. They're scared, afraid of the presence of God and the power of God. You know, if this country ever gets their eye back on God, they'll run some of these sorry, good-for-nothing, atheist-minded people out of it. That's true. I'm just telling you right now, is anybody that comes in that's detrimental to the work of God and the word of the Lord, You know why the average Baptist church is in such a mess? They allow every whore, every whoremonger, every drunk, every dopehead. They allow anybody and everybody to come in, and they just want to love everybody to Jesus, and they don't ever want to run anybody. Sometime you've got a clean house and invite people to leave. I'm glad we don't have anybody like that here this morning. That's not a pleasant task, by the way. And if you think it is, next time that it becomes necessary, I'll appoint you to be able to do it for me. It's not a pleasant task whatsoever. But if you're going to stand with God and stand for God and do what God said, you're going to have to keep your eyes upon the captain of the Lord of hosts and be able to march with him. You know, and somebody said, well, you think putting people out, you ever read over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, whatever he said, it's been reported among you that there's somebody committing fornication on the inside. I never heard of anybody that's having a relation with his own daddy's wife. It'd be a stepmama, and there's a man having problems with that. And you ever hear what he said? Turn that dude over to Satan. I got to say to you, the reason why we're the laughing stock in the country that we're living in is because of the fact that we got to where we were silent in the pulpit. You'll find that the pew became more congested, but the more congested that it came and the more that we made it easy for people to get in, the more wicked that it became in a congregation. No wonder the church is a laughing stock. I've listened to some preachers, I could name some that I like pretty well as far as the average human being or male. But I've listened to some of them that has never said nothing in 20-some-odd years that I've known them. Never said nothing. I've known some for 35, 40 years. Never said nothing. Never said nothing. I'd hate to know that I stood before God claiming to have followed the captain and never made anybody unhappy whatsoever in life. Now, my job and my desire is not to make people unhappy, but if you preach the truth of God, it's not going to make anybody happy except the people of God. Number two, I want to say the Bible said, and the Lord said, in this lesson that we're looking at, he said unto Joshua. Now, he's about to give him the promise of God. And here's what he says to him. Jericho may be shut up and this and that and so forth and on, but God has given Jericho into your hand, Joshua. And I can tell you right now, is that if you don't think that that's going to take a step of faith, did you listen carefully when we were reading it? I want you to take, and there's going to be the Ark of the Covenant. It's going to be bore by those men that are appointed for that. Then ahead of that, there's going to be the seven trumpets that are of ram's horn that's going to be blasting and blowing, and they're going to be playing continuously. And then ahead of that, there are going to be men that are armed for war. And then obviously, by the rest of the chapter, when you read about the rear ward, there's going to be some people behind them. And they're going to march around the walls of Jericho, and they're going to go one time a day for 6 days. Can you imagine anybody trying to look outside? I don't know if they had curtains or not. I don't know how they looked, but surely they had some access to be able to look a little bit, find out what's going on. What's all that noise with all the trumpets sounding, blowing? I tell you, I wonder if the Lord is trying to get people to realize that one of these days the dead in Christ are going to rise. The trump of God is going to sound. And let me tell you, we which are alive remain to be changed in the moment, the twinkling of an eye, to be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall ye ever be with the Lord. Do you imagine that some people that were there heard that marching? They heard those ram's horn blowing. What are they doing? I don't know. They're nearly about all the way around the city, it looks like. Sounds like they're coming all the way around. And boy, when they get back around, they just stop. Nobody has said anything. Nobody shouted anything. Nobody has spoken anything. He's already commanded them to be silent. And I want you to do that for 6 days. Do you realize, you know, that every day they got up and they did that? Can you imagine how you must be feeling if you were pinned up in Jericho and shut up straightly, nothing going in and out, and every day, what is that going on? That's them Jews marching again. I don't know what they're doing. Does anybody here know what they're doing? No, they don't know what they're doing. I guarantee you right now is the people of God knew what was going on, but you talk about a man that had to take real faith. I could have just seen one of us. Hey, Lord, my word, can't we throw a spear or do something, shoot an arrow, throw a rock? Can't we do something? I mean, we got to just, no, sir, you're going to march around one time every day for 6 days. It's hard to be faithful unto God when it just seems like you're not doing anything, just walking around in circles.
Yes,
but if you don't wait on God, I can tell you, you're about to make a mess of whatever it is going on. And the Bible said that whenever they got to doing that, he said, now I'm going to tell you, Joshua, I'm going to give Jericho into your hand. I'm going to give you their king. I'm going to give you their mighty men of valor. I'm going to give you those people that are living on the end. All those people are accursed. Only one family going to make it out of there, and it's going to be Rahab the harlot and her family. And that's the only place that's going to be standing on the wall when we're said and done. Well, you begin to read and begin to notice in verse number 3 here that the orders of God and the order of service is that it's going to be the ark, the priests in front of them blowing the ram's horns, and the people that are armed for war ahead of them. That tells me that what they're doing is they're marching in rank. They're marching in unison. They're marching in by the command of the Lord. And let me tell you, when they pass that city one time, they go around it the next time on the second day, and then it's the third day, and they're all the way marching up pretty close, and it's finally going to be the seventh day. But for 6 days, they were to march around and make a complete circle, and nothing being heard except the unison of marching in the feet, if you could hear that, and the ram's horns that were blowing. No sound, no shout, no nothing. Now, I looked into the Bible, and I realized is that Jericho, there's not much about it since God burned it all down. I've had and looked up, and several people, you know, that are scholarly men, they say that somewhere around 6 foot thick, and some two walls, one of them about 6 foot thick, and the other one about 12 foot thick, and some use various measurements, more or less. Some places in it like 28 feet high. You talk about a fortress of a place that they're marching around. We're not just talking about some easy accessible thing. I mean, you'd have to be smarter than a turkey. We got that turkey there. He probably weighs, 25 pounds, 30 maybe? Maybe more. I wish one of you would pick him up and weigh him for us. But he has no feathers here at all. You know why? Because he's frisky and he wants to be able to top one of those dogs in that pen. And he gets up there and gets his breast right up against it, and they pull all his feathers out. And it looks like he's been for all the way around here that he's plucked all the feathers out of it. And you know the reason being is, well, he's not nothing but a little wire fence that's between him and those animals. And then it'll frost the next morning. I thought, you poor idiot, you're out there. All your cover's been pulled out by them dogs. And do you know the reason why that God put this story in here? To show us that there are some people that don't have the sense God gave a turkey, and they're shut up on the inside. And there's some people that are on the outside that have obeyed the Lord and have taken their marching orders, and they're marching all the way around the city of Jericho. I imagine some people are wondering, these are pretty thick walls. They're pretty high walls. I don't know how in the world we're going to ever get in there. I can tell you how you're going to get in there. You're going to keep doing whatever God said and keep your mouth shut and be glad for the privilege to march with him and the captain of the Lord of hosts. And as a result of that is when it comes time, God's going to knock all that down flat. Now, notice in your Bible, if you will, please, is that whenever you begin to look at it, that in verse number 10, Joshua commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout nor make any noise. He says, with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day that I bid you shout, and then shall you shout. Look at that. I want to say that whenever they begin to march around and around that, is that in verse number 13, the Bible says, and the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of the ram's horn before them, they went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, but the reward came after the ark of the Lord, and the priests going on blowing with the trumpets. In other words, they had a continual blowing the whole time they were marching around that. And for 6 days, it was the same routine. You're not to let anybody hear a word. You're not to shout. You're not to make any noise whatsoever. I want to tell you something. Did you notice noise that they're making with the trumpets is that what God's trying to tell them on the inside is that your days are being numbered. Here's day one, day two, day three. Your days, your time is running out. Do you know what's wrong with the average Baptist in the day we live in? They feel like, we feel like, that somehow or another we're going to just live forever all the way right here. But I got to tell you, our days are numbered. If you don't know the Lord, what are you waiting on? One of these days, the last time you're going to hear the march. The last time you're going to hear the trumpet. The last time you're going to be invited. In this lesson here, you're looking at, day seven's going to be here before they know it. And then I want you to look about verse number 15, is that day seven's finally coming about. And it came to pass that on the seventh day that they arose early about the dawning of the day, and they compassed the city after the same manner seven times. Only on that day they compassed the city seven times. Look at it. And the Bible said that whenever you begin to look into it, is that you think, my word, wonder why seven times. I don't know, but it seems like God has got an idea of completeness with this seven times of a deal. You remember over there in the book of 2 Kings, and we'll not take time to turn there, but in chapter 5, verse number 14, there was a leper by the name of Naaman, and he was a mighty man of valor, and that his captain wanted him to be able to have somebody to get rid of that leprosy, and so he sent Elijah or Elisha, whoever it was, and he sent him down there to him, and he told him, he said, I want you to go dip in the Jordan River seven times. Yeah. And I imagine he felt like a fool dipping up and down, you know, until the seventh time. Oh, yeah. And he became cleansed of his leprosy. Yeah. Hey, do you remember over there in the book of Psalm, chapter number 119, is that the Bible said there, in fact, I'm going to read it to you, and show you why a lot of people don't have great peace that about the law of God. But in Psalms 119, verse 164 and 165, seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You know the reason why we're so easily offended? We've ducked out too many times on the praise factor. And if you praise God seven times a day, well, I thought about him this morning. Yeah, but seven times a day will take most of the day up. You remember over there in the book of Leviticus, don't turn there, but in chapter number 26 and verse number 24, he said that if you not obey me and hear me, so forth and on, that I'll punish you, your sin seven times. So here they're going to march around, and seven seems to be the number of the Lord, and we could go on, but suffice to say, they're going to march around seven times. And the Bible said that whenever they do that, verse 15 and 16, and it came to pass that on the seventh day that they arose early about the dawning of the day, and they compassed the city after the same manner seven times. Only on that day they compassed the city seven times. And it came to pass that at the seventh time that the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Now I'm going to tell you, that must have been some shout and noise of unity that was shouting at the command of God. Now, watch this, if you will, in verse 17. And the city shall be accursed. I mean, everybody in there is going to be cursed. Everything they've got is going to be cursed. And it says, and all that are therein to the Lord, only Rahab the harlot shall live, and she and all of her that are with her in the house, because she had hid the messengers that went sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves a curse. And when you take of the accursed thing, and you make the camp of Israel to curse it and trouble it. And he tells them about where to put the silver and the gold and so forth and on into the treasury of the Lord. Then in verse 20, and the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it came to pass that when they heard the sound of the trumpet, that the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him. And they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman and young and old and ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword. Now I'm going to tell you, is that even in the midst of that battle, God remembered the promise he had made to Rahab the harlot and all of her family. And that's the only place that left standing. Now, I want to say to you that one of these days, this world is going to taste of the edge of the sword of God when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords shall come again. I really hope that whenever he comes and sets up his kingdom, that he'll let me deal with the mob. I really hope he'll let me deal with Nancy Pelosi. Would you be willing to go to hell just to beat the snot out of her one time? You know, and then come back out. I'm just kidding about that, kinda. I want to say to you that if you will, please, in verse number 27, we're going to close. This Bible said that he put a curse upon anybody that builds that city. And in verse number 27, so the Lord was with Joshua. What a good thought that is. And his fame was noised throughout all the country. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You want to be famous? March with God. Stay with the captain of the Lord of the hosts. Anybody can walk with religious people and do what they're doing, the way they're doing it, look like them, act like them, think like them. But I want to tell you, if you want to please God and you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to look at and see who is the captain of the Lord of hosts. I wonder, do you know him? If you don't, this would be a good time to trust him. While we stand to our feet, our heads are bowed. Our Father, I want to say thank you for loving us while we were unlovable. I praise you and thank you that thou art God and beside thee there is none else. Now bless, I pray, this congregation. We thank you for all the good victories that we've enjoyed together in the past many years. We thank you, dear God, for those you've saved, those you've given revival to, those you, Lord of us, you've given family, and these kids and all of these grandkids. We just want to say thank you. But Lord, we've got more than just blessings from the past. We want to thank you for the blessings of God for the present. And I pray that, Lord, if there's one that's lost without God, you'd trouble their heart until they find themselves with repentance and faith toward God and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, bless, I pray, these requests that have been mentioned. We'll thank you in advance in Jesus' name. Amen.